John chapter 8, look at verse number 30. This is talking about Jesus, and the Bible says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What a statement that is. We'll keep going, but we're going to come back to this. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Wow. Verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. Look at verse 36, if the Son therefore, he's talking about himself, Jesus is talking about himself, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. In two verses, we have Jesus saying this, that if you want to be free, God can make you free. In verse number 32, the truth shall make you free. In verse number 36, the Son, therefore, Jesus Christ, shall make you free. I love freedom. In fact, I've never lived a day of my life without freedom. And I'm probably describing most everybody here this morning. You know, there's a cry deep inside the heart of every person for freedom. Freedom to choose. Freedom to worship. Freedom to pursue dreams. Freedom to live without being constantly harassed by an enemy. We don't understand freedom really like we could because most of us have never lived in a situation where we didn't have freedom. We have quotes from people like Patrick Henry. I love Patrick Henry's famous speech, and last night as I wanted to make sure I had all the words just right, I remember so much of it from when I was in school and I memorized it, but I wanted to get it just right, and I looked it up, and there's so much more than the part that a lot of times we memorize. And I read through the whole speech that Patrick Henry made as I believe he was in the colony of Virginia at the time and trying to convince the other leaders of the colony to join in the fight for independence. But he said this, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, you may remember this part, give me liberty or give me death. If you read the rest of that famous speech that he made there to the leadership of his colony, you find that this is a man who loved God and feared God. And this is a man who was looking at the potential loss of his freedom, and he decided, I would rather die than not live free. And that was the idea, the intention of so many of the men that we would remember, the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. Patrick Henry, these men, and so many others were willing to die because they loved, as we sing in the song, freedom more than life. You know, we enjoy freedom in 2017, even though we might not think about it as often as we should. I mean, really, we don't get up in the morning usually and say, wow, I'm free today. I live in a free country today. I'm free to say what I want to say, go where I want to go. I can go to church, I can carry my Bible, I can meet publicly with other believers. There's so much that we just take for granted because we've never lived, most of us, without freedom. We've become so used to being free that we may not even value our freedom like we should. I'm leading into this discussion, this conversation that Jesus had with these people, but freedom is so normal to us that we might even find ourselves willingly giving it up in exchange for other things. I started writing this and I took it out because I didn't want to offend anybody, but just think about this. If you're my age or older, some of you are a lot older, you remember I remember when I would say an old person was 40. I remember that. It wasn't that long ago. Now I'm an old person. I remember a time when you could go to the airport and walk all the way up to the person that you were meeting at the gate. Do you remember that? You could walk all the way up there and keep your pocket knife in your pocket and your shoes on. It was incredible, the freedom that we had, but we, because of some things that happened and the terrorist attacks and things like that, we've traded freedom for some other things, and one of those things is security. So we have less freedom whenever we want to walk to the gate at the airport, but we have traded that for security. And because we live in a, and I'm not saying that's a wrong thing, it may be the right thing, but because we live in a situation where we've never lived without freedom, we don't value it, and many times we're willing to let it go, willing to give it away. You know, while we're free, we aren't as free as people in our country used to be. We're really not. We have great freedoms. But what would happen if Daniel Boone were to somehow walk out on the platform and we started telling him about all our freedoms, and he would think, wow, too bad you didn't live back in my day, because then you'd really be free. I mean, go wherever you wanted to go, right? Carry whatever rifle he wanted to carry across the, what was it he found, the Cumberland Gap, and, you know, the freedoms that we have. And here's my point. We live in freedom, but a lot of times we don't realize that we may still be in bondage in some areas. And I'm getting to what Jesus said here in just a moment, but follow with me just for a minute. Jesus told the people how they could be made free. Verse number 31, he said that, verse 32, he said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And what was their answer? Their answer, verse 33, was this. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" See, they didn't understand the value of his message because they didn't realize they were in bondage. They thought, we're free. We're Abraham's seed. We're descendants of Abraham. We've never been in bondage. What are you talking about? You can make us free. What kind of other freedom do we need? We're not in bondage. See, people see the entire world through the filter of their own experiences. That's just the way we are. If I look at history, a lot of times what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the history that I experienced. And I'm going to look at through my eyes, my life. They said, "We've never been in bondage." Wait a minute. You might know more of the story than they did. You might know a little bit more of the story that they'd forgotten their history. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They said, "We've never been in bondage." But wait a minute. They forgot their history. These are Jews he's talking to. The Jewish people had been slaves in Egypt. That's bondage. They said, "We've never been in bondage." Well, wait a minute. Yes, you have. The Jewish people had been slaves in Egypt. They had been in bondage even after they left Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They made it into the Promised Land. They were in bondage to nations like Midian. And it's easy to remember the story of Midian because it rhymes with Gideon, all right? You remember the story of Gideon? How he took his 300 men and they surrounded the army of Midian, and they, you know, they got their torches out and they yelled the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and they squashed their pots, and it sounded like the army was surrounded, and they beat this army of Midian. Well, why were they even in that conflict? Because the Midianites, this nation that was next to them, had put them in bondage. Jesus said to the people, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they said, "We've never been in bondage." Well, they had. They've been slaves in Egypt. They were in bondage to these other nations, even in the Promised Land. The northern part of Israel was carried away captive by a nation called Assyria. The southern part of Israel, that's where Jerusalem was, it'd be called Judah, was destroyed and taken as slaves by Babylon. So not only had they been slaves one time in their history, they'd been in bondage over and over and over again. But they were thinking about their generation. Jesus said, I'll make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they said, "We've never been in bondage." They were just thinking about their now. Kind of like we do. We think about our now. We forget about the 241 years ago when the people that signed that Declaration of Independence, as you go down the list, nearly every single one of them lost everything that they owned. And many of them were hung. Many of them were killed for treason because of the fight that they took to the enemy for freedom. These Jews, they were thinking about their generation. You know, they had it pretty good. They'd never been in bondage. They lived in their hometowns. They went to their local synagogues. They shopped at the local markets. They hadn't fought any wars. They hadn't been invaded by any foreign nations. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Kind of like us. I never fought any wars. We've had wars as I've been growing up. I remember in the 90s there was Desert Storm, Operation Desert Storm, and you remember some of that. Some of you were in that. Some of you fought that. We've had the war on terror and all that. This has kind of defined our generation now. But it's not like Vietnam or World War I or World War II. And we feel sometimes like, yeah, we've got freedom. We've never had any of that. And we just kind of get this idea that we're always going to have this freedom. It's just something that we deserve and we're entitled to. And that's kind of the idea they had. Well, we've never been in bondage. They've never experienced slavery or bondage. They weren't really part of a country at the time, actually, because the nation of Israel had been destroyed 586 B.C., and it wasn't reestablished until 1948. They weren't really part of a country. They didn't have a home country. Their nation wasn't even in existence at the time, but they were feeling pretty good about things. They paid taxes to the Roman government. They were ruled by Roman kings and governors. In fact, at this time, they were required to carry the load of any Roman soldier who commanded them. If a soldier said, "Stop what you're doing and come with me," they were required to carry that Roman soldier's load that mile. Remember when Jesus said, if they say, "Go with you a mile," then you're supposed to go 2 miles with them? Well, he's referring to that. They're saying to Jesus, "We're not in bondage, we're free." Jesus is helping them understand, listen, you are in bondage, but there's more to it here, just a moment. They weren't really free, but they thought they were free because they'd never experience true freedom. The best that they knew, they were as free as anybody. It's kind of like us. The best we know, this is the best time to live, the most freedom. And I love the freedom that we have. And I thank God for it. But there's some areas where they were in bondage. They were paying taxes to a foreign nation. And okay, so let me tie this all together. Jesus steps into their life and says, "I want to make you free." And they say, "We are free. We're already free. There's nothing else that we need. We're completely free of bondage. We've never been in bondage." They thought they were free, and to some extent they were. They weren't in bondage to government, but they were slaves to something much worse. And that's what I want to get at this morning. We're not going to be long this morning. I prepared a shorter message this morning because we had a video, and I knew Mr. Lewis was going to be here talking. Now listen, you're free this morning. You live in a free nation, and we have the American flag, and we can fly the flag, and we can come to church, and we can carry our Bibles, and we can do all this. We're free, but there's a slave that's much worse. In chapter 8, verse 34, look what Jesus says to these people. They're saying to him, "Look, we don't need your freedom. We don't need to be made free. We've never been in bondage." But look what Jesus says. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." There's another bondage that you may not have thought of. There's another bondage that if you don't take care of this, if you don't get made free from the bondage of sin, you're in trouble. They thought they were free. Jesus comes and says, "I want to make you free." And then he says, listen, if you sin, you're the servant of sin. Then two verses later, he gave them the solution, verse 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Like I said, this is a short message, but get this. You live in a free country. What an amazing country we have. What an amazing thing to think that we can choose the life that we want to live. We can go where we want to go. We can say what we want to say. You live in a free country, but if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you're still a slave to sin. And I want to help you to break that bond. Can you imagine Jesus' heart as he was looking at these people thinking, they think they're free. They think that they have freedom, but they're still in bondage to sin. And can you imagine his heart breaking as they rejected him, as he came to pay the price for their sin and they rejected him? The Bible says in Matthew that the children of the kingdom would be cast out. The Jewish people, the people there in Israel at the time, rejected the Savior who came to give them freedom from the bondage of sin. You know, the Bible says that the punishment for sin is separation from God in a place that the Bible calls hell. You know, Jesus preached more about hell than he preached about heaven. Why is that? Because it's real. He wanted to warn people about it. In Revelation chapter 21, do you have your Bibles? Turn to Revelation chapter 21. I want you to see this. See, you and I think we've got everything we need. We live in this free country. We've got the freedoms we need. But if you are living in bondage to sin, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to see this. This is so important. This will be the most important thing you've ever seen if you've never had Jesus make you free. Revelation chapter 21. This is right at the end of the Bible. God's talking about what's going to happen during the end times. And He says that the punishment for sin is separation from God. Now, the Bible doesn't call it hell in this verse, but I want you to see it. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, I'm included in that verse because it says all liars. I had the opportunity yesterday to meet a lady. I knocked on her door. I invited her to church, and I told her about our church and everything, and I showed her, but you know, you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And I went through the plan of salvation. I showed her this, and I was able to show her that because I've told a lie, I'm included in that verse. I'm a liar. I don't like being called a liar. You ever had somebody look at you in the face and say, you're a liar? That makes you mad. But right here, God says, all liars. And I know that I'm a liar because I've told a lie. The Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look at chapter 20, verse 15. I just want you to see this. I want you to see that even though things look great on the outside, if there's a sin problem on the inside, we need somebody to make us free. Look at chapter 20, verse number 15. The Bible says this, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Because of sin, I deserve to die and go to a place called hell. I'm talking about me. I deserve that. Because of sin, you deserve that. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We live in a free country. We live in this amazing place, but still we can be in bondage to sin unless Jesus Christ has made you free. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be free. Can you find 1 Corinthians chapter 15? This will be the last place we look at this morning and we're done. But I want you to see this. This battle that's going on between God and sin. And I want you to see what happens. I want you to see how you can have victory over sin. I want you to see how you can be free from the bondage and the punishment of sin. It's amazing. It's written right here for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 55. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. You've probably heard this verse before. It's an amazing verse. When you realize that we're all sinners, and you realize that because of that sin, we are in bondage to sin. You realize the punishment for sin is to be separated from God forever in a place called hell. Then you read a verse like this, and you say, wow, I can have freedom. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Look at this. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look, every one of us, because of our sin, because we are sinners, we are in bondage. We may not be as free as we think we are. We live in a free country. It's an amazing place. But what about spiritually? Are you free? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And then God comes along and says, look, I paid the price for sin. I've won the victory over sin, and I did that through Jesus Christ. You know this verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That was Jesus. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to be a slave to sin. You don't have to pay that punishment for sin because Jesus already paid it for you. And what I want to give you this morning is freedom. Now, I can't give you freedom, but Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you remember who the truth is? John 14, 6, Jesus said it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Then in verse 36, John 8, 36, He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I love Independence Day. I love the 4th of July. I love the fireworks. I love watching the videos. They make me cry. When I see the soldier opening up the card from home and it says, "I love you, Daddy." Wow. I love our freedom. I love being part of this country. But more important than that, infinitely more important than that, is me, it's you being free from the punishment of sin. And you can be if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll be done here in just a moment. Father, thank you for letting us be here today. Thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you that you paid the price for our sins and you want to give us freedom. You want to give us freedom from the punishment of sin, from the presence of sin, from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin. You want to give us freedom. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning who has not trusted you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that this morning they would. Pray that this morning they would simply do what you said to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved.